This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, everybody's fasting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Not good enough, ya Mashaykh. 20 of you are still not giving us salams. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to another beautiful Friday. Walhamdulillah. Our second Jumu'ah after the month of Ramadan, subhanallah. And where did that month of Ramadan go? Where did it go, subhanallah? Like a flash, like the blinking of an eye, it entered and it's gone, Allahu musta'an. And so is life. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought us together on another beautiful Friday. We send salawat upon the Habib Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, let's imagine for a moment. We are in Medina al-Munawwara. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there amongst us. Unfortunately, one of our brothers, one of the Ansari brothers, he has passed away. And so imagine the family, the wife, she is probably in tears. Maybe there's young children in that home that are also in tears. His brothers, his sisters, they are all at that home. And so they prepare him for the janazah. They have the ghusl performed upon this body. He's one of the Ansar brothers, mashallah. The ghusl is done. The announcement is given. Time of janazah is set. The kafan, the shrouding of our brother is performed and sorted out. And so now the body is lying there in the masjid or at the musalla, awaiting the imam of the Muslimin to come and perform salatul janazah. Who? The Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rahma lil alameen. The mercy to mankind. If he prays salatul janazah over this man, what do we do in our salatul janazah? We make dua for the one who has passed away. Yes or no? Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy upon him, etc. And so imagine if this dua is done by who? By the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dua, your dua might not go answered. But imagine the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua for this person. This is like shafa'ah, intercession for this person here. And so they are all awaiting. The janazah is there. The shrouding has been done. The family is there. The young kids might also be there. The brothers, the uncles, maybe his father is also alive and he's also there in the masjid. Wait, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming. And he enters the masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's about to begin the salatul janazah over this brother. And then he asks, Hal alayhi deen? Does he have any debt? Does he owe anyone any money? Does he have any accounts that are due? He has his income, he has his money. But maybe he owes some people money. Maybe he's borrowed. Maybe he's bought on credit. He hasn't sorted that out. Does he owe anyone any money? Hal alayhi daynun? Then some of the Sahaba said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He owes 2 dinars. Not millions, he owes 2 dinars. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you people pray over your brother and he's about to leave. Subhanallah. We might have heard this hadith. But imagine the emotion. Imagine that situation. Imagine the incident that you are there. The father of this guy also standing shocked. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not going to pray over my son. Imagine his little kids. He's not going to pray over this man here. Our brother, he passed away. Allahu musta'an. Then Abu Qatada, one of the other companions, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I will sort out his debt. Those 2 dinars that he owes, I will cover it. I will sort it out. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam steps forward and he prays the janazah salah over this man. If that wasn't enough, the next day the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets up with Abu Qatada and asks him, you said yesterday you are going to pay off the debts of this man. Have you sorted it out? He says, Ya Rasulullah, the man only passed away yesterday. I mean, it's not been enough time for me to have sorted this matter out. I will sort it out. The next day, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets up with Abu Qatada again and asks him the same question. Have you sorted out that debt, that 2 dinar debt? Have you paid it up as you promised? And he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now his skin has been cooled. Now, the deceased, now his skin is at ease. Now his skin has been cooled, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he dealt with matters of debt. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Nabi, your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would seek protection in Allah from debt. He doesn't even want to get close to it. He doesn't want to get involved in anything of debt. Maybe some here, maybe not here, maybe might be drowning in debt. And so, ears are closed. I don't want to hear to this matter. I don't want to listen to this. I already have so much of debt, swimming in debt, drowning in debt. Our Nabi, your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he would go to sleep, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would seek assistance from Allah that, oh Allah, that iqdi anni ad-dain. From amongst his du'as, oh Allah, you help me to settle my debts. So if he does have any debt, oh Allah, you make it easy for me to settle these debts. You help me to settle it as soon as possible. And even before that, Anas ibn Malik and others, they mention that one of the common du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wording in Arabic, كَانَ يُكْثِرُ كَثِيرًا. A lot he used to make this du'a. What du'a? Seeking Allah's protection from debt. I don't even want to get into it. I don't want to buy on credit. I don't want to owe anybody any money. I don't want to borrow any money at all. Rather, that's the best course of action. And if ever I do get involved, then the second du'a before he would sleep, oh Allah, you help me to settle it. What du'a? Seeking protection from debt he would make. مِنْ ضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ. From being overburdened by debt. Oh Allah, I seek your protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the punishment in the grave. Wa a'udhu bika min adhab jahannam. And I seek your protection from jahannam, the punishment of jahannam. And part and parcel. And I also seek your protection from being overburdened by debt. Allahumma musta'an. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attitude to this matter. And what about our attitude? Debts in reality are burdens. It's worry and stress during the day, and it keeps you up at night. That's if you have a heart. That's with regards to the person that he's borrowed, and he wants to pay. He's looking forward to the day that he's removed from these debts. He's trying his level best to come out of debts. We're not talking about the one who borrows with no intention to pay. We're not talking about the one who borrows and he is drowning in interest. That's a separate discussion. We're talking about the one who borrowed and he is meeting his payments. Even though that's the case, it's still a matter to be wary of. As we saw the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you think the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid a single dirham or dinar in interest? No. So these debts were interest free. But he's still seeking Allah's protection from these debts. He's still asking Allah, you help me to settle my debts. He still didn't want to pray janazah over that Ansari brother of his because that man owed 2 dinars of debt. Allahumma musta'an. What do we learn from this here? We learn that number one, the janazah, that this is a severe warning that all you Muslims, muhajirin, Ansari in Medina, if you borrow, if you owe people money, be careful. I might not pray janazah over you. I will not pray janazah over you. You might have committed other sins. Allah forgives insha'Allah. But as for the rights of mankind, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. But as for man, Ahmed, Suleiman, Ilyas and Fatima, they are not Ghafoorur Rahim. They want their money. They want their haqq. These are the rights of mankind. And so warning to them, if you owe people money and you haven't sorted it out and you pass away, well, you lose out on me praying janazah over you. My intercession, my shafa'ah, my du'a, my rahmah for you, it's not going to happen. Warning to the sahaba. We also learn from this. He would seek protection. Doesn't even want to dabble in the matter of debts. How easy it is for us. Maybe we don't even think about it. You have the debit card and you have the credit card. Well, the credit card, you are buying on credit. You're owing somebody the money. You bought the nappies, you bought the beans, you bought the groceries, the stationery. And it's so easy to swipe and pay later. But you do owe someone money. Whereas with your debit card, it's sorted out. It's done. Maybe we don't even think twice about it. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam seemed to have been thinking many times about this matter. We learn from this that every day before he went to bed, he would make dua, "Oh Allah, if I have this debt, help me satisfy it. Help me settle these debts." It was not something like, as some say, "I don't like to lend people money." Why? Because then they get amnesia. What do you mean, brother? Because when I lend them money, they all seem to forget about the matter. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not forgetting about the matter. It was something at the top of his mind every night. "Oh Allah, you help me to settle my debts." Compare this to us. Buy now, as is the advertisements. Buy now and pay later. Swipe and go. There's even fly now and pay later, mashallah. Go for the holiday now, fly now, enjoy now, and you pay later. Buy now, worry later. Allahu musta'an, jayid. Sometimes the brother or the sister might even have the money. He's got the money, but he prefers to buy it on debt. That attitude, is it in sync with the attitude of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, it's not in sync. Allahu musta'an. In his salawat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thami wal maghram. Wallah, I seek your protection from this matter of maghram. Maghram means to be drowning in debts. And so a sahabi said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, so many times in your salah you make this dua that, oh Allah, I seek your protection from this matter of debt." I mean, so much, Ya Rasulullah. Why are you giving so much of importance to this matter? What did he say? He says, because the person who is in debt is a haddatha kadab. Because then when he speaks, he usually lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. And when he promises, he does not fulfill his promises. You know the story. "I will pay you later." What are you so worried about? It's not like I'm running away or anything of the sort. I mean, I'm not planning to die or anything right now. "I will pay you." You know the brother, he makes salat with Jumu'ah. Directly, "Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah," he's already out. Why? Because the brother in the second saf, he owes him money. And so before he can get done with the sunnah, etc., he's already popped out. Quickly, avoid him. Eat date, we'll visit the uncle, the grandfather in the morning. They're coming in the evening. So we won't mix for the supper. To avoid them, when he speaks, he lies. How many times has he said, "I will pay you soon, this month end, next month end"? How many month ends have come and gone? He hasn't paid. Allahu musta'an. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam making dua, protection from debt. Why? Because of the evil that it can lead to. That then when he promises, he does not fulfill his promise. When he speaks, then he lies. Tell them, "I'm not here." Put the phone off. Doesn't answer his messages, etc., etc. And we know the drill. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. And so this is a grave matter. Whether it's a debt to a Muslim, someone lent you some money and you owe them the money. Whether you owe a non-Muslim, whether you owe the municipality, whether it be Vodacom, whether it be your Edgar's account, whatever it might be. This is a legitimate debt that you owe, and so you have to pay it. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبِ. The martyr, the one who dies on the battlefield, above him were the sounds of swords, and he was killed on the battlefield. He sacrificed his own life, he gave his life fi sabilillah. All of his sins are forgiven. And somebody asked him about it, and he said, "Yes, all of his sins are forgiven." And then the guy was about to leave, and then he called him back. He says, "What did you ask?" And he gave the answer. And then he said, "Illa ad-deen," except the matter of debt. "Jibreel informed me about this right now." Jibreel, when I gave you the answer, Jibreel came and told me, "No, no, no, it's not all sins are forgiven. Rather, the matter of debt is not forgiven because you owe this money. These are from the rights of mankind. When Salman passes away, the first thing we need to do from his estate is what? Sort out his debts. He owes Ahmed, Ilyas, Fatima. He owes Edgar's. He owes Diskem. He owes the municipality, lights and water and his cell phone bill. We need to sort out all of these debts. He might even owe Allah debts. How? Maybe he was old, he was sick, he hasn't fasted, and so the fidya, 2 years, he hasn't sorted out his zakah. We need to sort out that zakah. Hajj was an obligation upon him, and he has not sorted out that hajj, etc. Before we can distribute the money to his heirs, we need to sort out his debts. Because that cannot be passed on to his heirs. That money doesn't belong to them. It never belonged to your father in the first place. It belonged to Edgar's. It belonged to Diskem. It belonged to Salman, Ahmed and Ilyas. After we sort out all of the debts, if there's anything left over, then that they will follow the rules of inheritance. But before that, we have to sort out the debts. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, as we said, these above are with regards to a legitimate debt. I borrowed 1,000 rands, and I will pay you, insha'Allah, 1,000 rands. And walhamdulillah, over 6 months, I've managed to pay up, masha'Allah. We're not talking about the one who borrows with no intention to pay back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who borrows with the intention to pay back because he needs, Allah will assist him to pay back. But the one who borrows with no intention to pay back, Allah will destroy him. We're not talking about the one who borrows and he doubles in interest, and he pays interest. As our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who takes and the one who pays, both of them are equal. Equal in matter what? Equal in the matter of sin. And the Sheikh, the Mawlana, the Islamic book, etc. They are only telling you what is there. They are not the ones coming up with the Sharia. You know that, for example, the topic of riba is one of those taboo topics. You can't talk about that any longer. Talk about respect to parents. Talk about praying 5 times a day. Talk about fasting in the month of Ramadan. Riba, leave that. That's an uncomfortable topic. Allahumma musta'an. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran that you are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are making a harb, a war with Allah. Look at our institutions that are crippling right now in South Africa. The post office, Eskom, we have South African Airways, etc. So there's mismanagement, corruption, and then there's also so much of debt which has accumulated. Servicing the debt has come into the billions, hundreds of billions, just servicing the debt. It's a vicious cycle. Allahumma musta'an. If that, and all of us have experienced that, the municipalities, this one is under administration, and the other one, etc. Because of mismanagement, because of then accumulated debt, and then the interest which has also come upon that, and it's a complete vicious cycle. Allahumma musta'an. Same with Ahmed and Ilyas and Fatima in their homes. And so they have a phone call. We're offering you this, we're offering you that. 3 times a day he gets these phone calls. They're trying to catch fish. They throw him that bait. He enters the supermarket. He enters the shopping center. They stand there. We give you this free gift. Sign up on this credit card here. Anonymous email. Email from FNB. From this one. From that one there. You qualify for this here. Personal loan. Overdraft. You qualify for temporary loan. They just want to give it out there. And woe to the one who then bites. And then he falls into this vicious cycle. Allahumma musta'an. If all we spoke about was with regards to a legitimate debt, what about all of this here where you are in an interest vicious cycle? Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And thus, in closing, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, we remind ourselves to live within our means. To live within our means. Is this really a need? Is it a want? Do I have to have it? Can I live without it? As they say, that today we want to buy things with money that we don't have. We want to buy stuff that we don't need to outshine and to please people that we don't even like in the first place. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. As somebody had mentioned, he said that our job, this person working for a company, said our job was that we are at a shopping center and we have our staff meeting every day, that we want to catch fish by hook or by crook. We come there, we want to offer you this here and sign up. All you need is your phone number and your account number, and then we will call you. No strings attached. You can decide later. The one sister, she says, I had no intention to buy or to get a credit card. I had no need. I was not thinking. I never even thought that I would qualify. I entered the shopping center. They offered it to me. And in fact, they had these bottles, these exercise drinking bottles there next to F&B. And so they said, if you sign up, you get the bottle. I wanted the bottle. I wanted the bottle. And I said, so I'll take the credit card. They told me, you get the bottle, you can go home, cut up the credit card, and it's over. Don't worry about it. He says, I went for the bottle, I signed up, and now 1.5 years later, I'm drowning in debt. I had to go for debt counseling. Because the credit card gives you that feeling that you have that money. That you have that money. You don't have that money. Allahu musta'an. That's obviously without getting into the fiqh. Are you even allowed to have a credit card? Many ulama know. Why? Because you have to sign on a dotted line that if and ever, if I don't pay up on time, then I acknowledge that I will pay you the interest. So many ulama state, the mere fact, even if you never ever ever your entire life go into the interest, the mere fact that you've signed on the dotted line saying that I will pay you interest, if that happens, that's a problem. Because that's a condition which is haram, and so makes the entire contract haram. But that's a side discussion. Point is that one needs to be wary with regards to this matter. And so the first one being that live within your means. Live within your means. Number two, use your debit card if it has to be, but not your credit card, as far as possible. If you ever have a credit card, then ensure that it's linked up with your debit card so that automatically it gets paid off. Sometimes you have the credit card due. Using the budget option on your credit card is haram. Because what's the budget option? Budget option means that I will pay you over a period of time and I will pay you interest every month. Allahu musta'an. Somebody says, oh, but subhanallah, you know, I went to these Islamic finance institutions and honestly, I really need a car or I need a house, etc. But I've worked out the rate, Standard Bank and this bank and that bank. The normal interest rate works out cheaper than what these Islamic options have to offer. So what about that? I mean, the halal seems to be a bit more expensive, etc. Sometimes that might be the case. Also, many a times it's a misconception. Also, so what? Somebody might say, well, a woman of the night, a prostitute there, she's cheaper than nikah. She's cheaper than nikah. Does it make it right? No, it doesn't make it right. Sometimes the right, the halal, might be a bit more expensive, but it is still right, as opposed to clear-cut haram. But that's a separate discussion with regards to the halal options out there. Also, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, what needs to cut back? If, for example, you are owing and you are drowning, you need to turn to Allah and make sincere tawbah that I will not dabble in interest again. I will settle this here, and wallah, I make this ahd with you, this promise with you. I'm not going to get dabble ever in interest again, nor am I going to enter myself into these unnecessary debts, because you lose the water of your face, as the Arabs say. You lose that izzah and that honor. If you are standing in front of somebody that you owe money to, and you haven't paid him for a few months, you lose your honor when you stand in front of that person. You are lowered before that person. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And lastly, be like our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He satisfied himself in that small home. That companion said, if you lifted up your hand, you could touch the roof. If you put your hands on each side, you might touch the walls of those two sides. He had date palm fibers on the floor and he had sand under that. And still the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam making dua, oh Allah, I seek your protection from debt. Don't let me dabble in debt. Don't force me into debt. And oh Allah, if ever I am in debt, oh Allah, I have the intention to pay it back. And oh Allah, you make it easy for me to pay it back. One of the categories of people who are allowed to take zakah, eight categories of people who are allowed to take zakah. One of those categories is a person who legitimately has fallen into crazy debt. And this person can't manage. Allah In the Quran, the Sharia understands that this person's life is now a life of misery. And so we allow them to eat from the zakah to settle that debt. We're not talking about the person who is lax and then they go around and try to collect zakah, etc., etc. That person is blameworthy double fold for number one, falling into that debt, and number two, then eating the haq of those who are down and those who are legitimately recipients of zakah. Allahu musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us far away from debt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us izzah and honor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those who are in debt, Allah make it easy for them to satisfy and fulfill that debt and those repayments and remove them from debt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those who are involved in any type of transaction which is riba based, Allah, we ask Allah that Allah forgive them for that, and we ask that they turn to Allah and do not involve themselves in any future riba transactions. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.